Have you lost the button?
No, definitely not. Well, welcome to tonight's Totally Seamless show. I'm Sandy Grevis, and I'm using Cluedo to solve crimes. I didn't know the Hutton had a billiard room. And what's in the ballroom?
I'm Hugh Pratt, and I'm on the case. It's one of those kiddies ride-on cases.
Whee! I'm Mia Harkness, and I'm using Occam's razor to solve cases. Oh no, I think I've just cut myself.
I'm Norris Knockers, and I'm channeling Miss Marple.
Mike!
In your own time!
I was talking just to myself, because I also know where the buttons are. I'm Mike Crotchburns, and I'm channeling my inner Inspector Clouseau. Not now, Cato!
I'm reading the latest book called The Thursday Murder Club. Seems somehow appropriate.
Ballroom. Oh, balls. Right. On with the headlines. It doesn't take brains to find the bar.
Mind first, ask questions later, says Lacon.
Tokoso escapes the mayhem.
Commander Overlight appointed temporary archivist and starts picture book memoir.
I bring you an update on the cheese situation and the heap.
And I bring you a heap of updates on the Hutton situation.
Since its launch, crew morale aboard the squadron carrier, Bearc, has been at an all-time low. Analysts point to the enforced sobriety as a contributing factor. Coincidentally, or perhaps not, accidents have also been at an all-time low. No direct causality has been proven, although the drop in explosive decompressions, minor dockside fires and unlicensed hoverboot incidents has been noted in internal safety reports. Following its official commissioning, the bar, also known as the Pilot's Lounge, opened applications for the position of bartender. Taran 4295, exhibiting the standard level of enthusiasm for recruitment, hired the first individual both upright and willing to stand motionless behind the bar without actually serving drinks. The individual was Deshaun Knoll, or to be more precise, Deshaun of the Dead Knoll. Commander Vantian boarded the carrier and wandered down for a swift half. While drinks are not available for purchase, the bar is the only location on board where his hip flask use is officially tolerated. He attempted to strike up a conversation with Mr. Noel, and quickly developed the strong impression that the bartender was trying to peer through his eye sockets and assess whether his brain would fit neatly into a cocktail glass. With a celery stick. Looking around the bar, he observed a number of individuals in various states of unconsciousness, or unusually quiet repose. Several appeared to have undergone unlicensed lobotomies, although it remains unclear whether this was voluntary, accidental, or simply the natural consequence of spending too long aboard a squadron carrier. Regardless, Vantayan, now thoroughly unnerved, accepted the cocktail from Deshaun, titled Brain Hemorrhage, declined the refill, and issued a reassignment notice. Deshaun has since been replaced by Waylon Shields, a member of the Portside Defensive Battery. Waylon has been verified by three separate departments as completely not a zombie. HR has nevertheless insisted on annual reviews. According to Vantayan, who isn't sounding himself for some reason,
while we're an equal opportunities cooperative and welcome all kinds, I'm relatively certain that being a zombie is not currently a protected characteristic under galactic employment law. Also, he gave me the willies, which is a cocktail I've never tried before. I do not recommend it. It went down lumpy, left a taste in my mouth. A bit like asparagus.
So far, only Commander Cecil appears to have not noticed any abnormalities. He remains perfectly happy to talk to any figure standing behind a bar, provided there is the suggestion of alcohol nearby, and at least one upright vertebrae to absorb the monologue. A minor complaint has since been received from the Hutton HR department. It turns out that Mr. Noel's unsettling demeanour may be the result of a 6-month stint moderating the Galactic Forums, followed by a rebuy that failed to reinstate the entire consciousness module. No formal blame has been assigned. In light of this, Mr. Noel has been promoted to the role of Commander in Charge of Visiting Powerplay Dignitary Hospitality. This is expected to be substantially reduce the number of dignitaries interested in attending functions aboard the Biark. The Apology Officer issued the following official statement.
To Dishon of the Dead, Noel, we are very, very sorry that you were not entirely comfortable with that we were not entirely comfortable with you attempting to spoon our brains out through our ears. Dead Meat GF does require his backbone. So if you could please drop it off at Vista Genomics, we will do our best to reinstall it at your earliest convenience. Much obliged. Also, just for clarification, it is for the mug, not, and I quote, the mug. P.S. We do hope you enjoy the Imperial Senators we sent you.
The bar remains operational, if somewhat quiet. The current menu includes the Willies, the Lobe Mojito, and the Diplomatic Immunity. Patrons are advised that the last one contains genuine immunosuppressants and should not be taken before combat, zero-G plumbing maintenance, or posting on the forums.
The long-rumoured Lacon Type 11 Prospector has now been officially announced. Video footage of the ship in action will be shown later in the broadcast, assuming the playback system doesn't crash again and someone remembers to reconnect the audio. Unlike other recent vessels that claim to be better at everything from travelling to Hutton to shooting, hauling, exploring and running missions, the Type 11 makes those same bold promises, but strictly within the boundaries of industrial asteroid annihilation. This is not a multi-role ship, this is a mono-role ship. That role is mining. Its hull configuration is described as flexible, with retractable engine nacelles that pull inwards when the cargo scoop is opened or the landing gear is deployed. This reduces the ship's footprint from absolutely massive to only slightly awkward. According to Lacon documentation, it allows the vessel to just about land on pads described in the technical manual as, "Oh, that's a bit of a squeeze." A new mining tool has been added alongside the starboard edge of the cockpit. The device is a rotating multi-purpose unit capable of both laser and abrasion mining, with enough power output to require its own substation and cooling vents. Health and safety experts have suggested that, due to the noise it generates, pilots might develop lopsided hearing unless fitted with proper ear defenders. It is visible from the pilot's seat, making it an ideal choice for commanders who enjoy watching very small rocks become very small particles. The Type 11 is equipped with a total of 8 hardpoints. 4 are for general use, 1 medium and 3 small, and 4 are specifically for mining tools. These include a large, a small, and 2 mediums, with the large mounted located just next to the cockpit for enhanced visibility and deeply satisfies pulverization. The type optional internals are plentiful, funking loads in fact. Highlights include a dedicated size 5 fighter bay, a unique size 5 mining drone controller slot, 2 additional lock slots for mining specific modules, enough remaining space to fit cargo, limpets, scopes, sensors, an entire mobile canteen of a small band. Core materials include a Class 6 power plant and a Class 7 power distributor, as the new mining equipment has been described by engineers as hungry. Thrusters, life support and the frameshift drive are all sized for stability rather than performance, with a build philosophy focused on what Lacon refers to as a deliberate navigation. Bucknecked, acting spokesman for Lacon Spaceways, was not available for official comment. He was last seen departing the showroom at speed while shouting, "Yee-hey!" Further details about the mining systems, hull configuration and Lacon's new line of branded ear protection will be provided later in the show.
Commander Tokuso, most recently sighted at this year's ECM event, accompanied by the Hutton Mayhem Band, has officially released his latest album. It is described as an epic volume of work, suitable for all known volume settings, though best experienced with the output set to loud. The release very nearly didn't happen. Following ECM, Tokuso was accompanied by Commander LCU, No Fool Like One, who informally assumed the role of roadie, muse, and sometimes collaborator. What Tokuso did not realise at the time was that LCU was wanted by authorities across known space for crimes against music and music of mass destruction. These charges reportedly stem from repeated instances where audience threw heavy objects at him. While the ECM crowd has consumed enough alcohol to actively enjoy LCU's distinctive performance style, representatives of the hit parade took a rather dim view. Fortunately, Tokuso avoided further incident by ducking down an alley and returning to his secured recording studio, where the new release was completed without delay. Attack of the Onion Heads has been described by the media as incendiary and trippy as heck. Speculation that sometime prohibited substance was used by the performers to get over their ECM experience, and they are totally unfounded. Available at all good record stores, though these days that means on the Galweb, as the latest incarceration of HMV on the concourses managed to survive one Christmas rush and then go out of business again. Search for Tokuso Attack of the Onion Heads on the Galweb for more information.
Commander Overlight, still undergoing musculoskeletal reconstruction following an earlier incident involving a yellow BP vehicle, has taken on a number of temporary assignments while awaiting full clearance for active service. The incident, categorized by Station Traffic Control as avoidable but educational, resulted in one of the more creative insurance reports submitted so far this year. In the interim, Overlight has assumed the role of Hutton Podcast Archivist. His current task involves assembling, collating, and restoring the full audio and text record of the station's output, with a particular focus on the Galnet Rares Digest segments. These were presented originally by Amelia Hawke between 3306 and the present day, and contain a significant quantity of field notes, dietary experiments, and minor incidents involving local flora. So far, Commander Overlight has managed to index the years up to 3307, so 1 year then. The partially collated archive has already reached 155 pages and contains approximately 64,000 words. None of the pages are indexed yet, and all are annotated in the margins in a variety of languages, one of which is only used by a small monastery on a moon near Colonia. The remaining 4 years of material have been delivered in physical storage containers marked Caution. Contents contain tales of extreme danger and a Bengal kitten. In order to move the collected scripts between archive stacks, Commander Overlight requisitioned a zero-G forklift. The vehicle has been calibrated to match his height and cybernetic gait, and features stabilizers to prevent tipping during laughter. Use of the forklift is currently limited to Deck 5 following an incident involving a support column. Despite the physical challenges, progress has been described as consistent. Overlight has also begun a personal side project during breaks. This biographical work, titled Steve, My Life in Tragedies, has been submitted for internal review. It is described as a picture book. It contains 22 illustrations, a short timeline of hospital visits, and a fold-out schematic of how to reassemble Steve from his constituent parts. It is not suitable for children. Commander Overlight has not responded to requests for comment, although witnesses in the archive report occasional low-level giggling and the sound of glue sticks being used in a determined manner. A review of forklift usage logs indicates that the project is expected to continue into next quarter, or until the box labelled Amelia Miscellaneous Appendices is located.
Following careful decontamination and environmental testing, Hutton Orbital has been declared free of the anti-cheese phage. At least that's the description we're giving to a lump of Emmental being left on a counter for a week and only suffering from the normal sort of rot one might expect. And indeed, remaining miraculously un-bog-spanieled. On the topic of bog spaniels, while we are doing our best to keep them away from the lost property heap, increasing numbers of them are getting past the security perimeter. So if you still have any unclaimed items, we recommend haste, sturdy boots, rubber gloves, a stout stick, and a large net. A respirator is also advised, or at the very least, a clothes peg. On the topic of said items, following the silent approval of those with authority over such things, the collection previously referred to as ECM Lost Property has been officially reclassified as the Hutton Orbital General Repository for Mislaid, Misfiled, and Unclaimed Objects. Unofficially, it remains the Heap. Originally confined to items abandoned during ECM, the repository has now expanded to include objects from across the broader Hutton Tracker community. These arrive with no consistent labelling, provenance, or sense of timing, but have nonetheless been integrated into the archive. Recent additions include a partially disassembled sidewinder lacking one landing leg in a navigational console, a partially reassembled sidewinder with an extra landing leg and two navigational consoles, a non-functioning SRV recovered intact from behind cargo door 3, several meters of braided cabling, individually tagged important, definitely needed. A sealed cryopod labeled contents, Vantian, accompanied by two maintenance tickets and a note reading do not prod. Commander Chix's stick-on moustache, likely scorched and affixed to the side of a tool case. Mooncake's litter tray, located using olfactory sensors. And a pair of Cecil's drinking glasses, nature unspecified, though reportedly effective in both high and low light conditions. Additional items currently under assessment include the top half of an Oompa Loompa costume, an inflatable banana of unknown ownership, a cardboard replica of Nelson's column, interior view, a magnetically sealed lunchbox marked not for this century, and a small wooden plaque bearing only the words, "Well, that escalated." As part of the ongoing archival effort, objects are now being indexed by physical volume, power draw, and whether they appear to belong to a wider system. Where items resist classification, they are placed near the confiscated fake Hutton mugs. It is believed this may encourage them to behave. Pilots who suspect their belongings may have become part of the heap are invited to inspect the collection in person. Viewings are permitted on alternate Tuesdays or by arrangement with the duty apology officer. Identification is required. requests such as "you'll know it when you see it" are no longer sufficient. Please refrain from feeding any part of the collection, operating recovered equipment without supervision, or attempting to stack the mugs. The fakes are probably toxic and definitely self-combusting. On the topic of feeding, the heap has now begun to exhibit life signs on scanners. It could be a trapped bog spaniel, or it might just do that now. Once again, we advise both haste and caution if you have any items you wish to retrieve.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we tell what the BGS until it cries for its mum. This week, war in Pyredi with the Gold League Solutions. We are still trying to reverse out of the Ass Garage. Investment in Barnard Star at Wolf C59. Infrastructure failure in G99-49. And in the Haeckel, where they've clipped it with a boom. Booms are in Ross 671, LTT 7072, LHS 47, and LHS 1827. If you fancy spicing things up a bit, then PSPF LF2, Epsilon Eridani, and Fiuchi are dabbling with Civil Liberty and Boom. Wise 1405 plus 5534 is a bit more in your face with both Boom and a War, with the Barnard Star Advance Corps. Well, they're advanced for Barnard Star anyway. Swimes FJ-HB2-5 sees us in election with the Gadekpe. Let's start that again. Swahim's FJ-8B2-5 sees us in election with Gadekpe Coalition, finally. But what does it all mean? Well, if you want to shoot it, then shoot it for victory in Pyredi. If you want to truck it, then truck it to Barnard Star or Wolf 359 for maximum profit. Or, if you're feeling civic-minded, then truck machinery and food into the Haeckel. That boom, coupled with the infrastructure failure, should make for good profits. If you want to mission run, then get yourself over to Swimes FJ-HB2-5 and help Hutton win that election. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.